So I want to talk to you today about the heart of the matter. Getting to the basics, getting to the fundamentals, getting to the crux of the matter, nitty gritty. There's a saying that says, hurt people, hurt people. Have you heard that saying? Hurt people, hurt people. I want to ask you the question today, how's your heart? How's your heart? Not just the physical organ, the heart, but it's defined as the center of our spiritual and emotional desires, or the soul. So last week we looked at two mothers, didn't we? Now I know we don't have any of these mothers in the house, but we just got to discuss them. One of the mothers was a cheat. She was a liar. Come on, you can say amen, because she was. She was deceptive. She was a thief. Yes? The other mother was full of love, self-sacrifice. Now, here's the thing. While Solomon was full of wisdom and knowledge and understanding and discernment, there's something that stood out to me when I was prepping for this message that helped Solomon to actually see who the mother of the child was. Here's what he says. He said in 1 Kings 3:27, give her to the one who pleads for his life, the living baby, and by no means slay him. She is the child's mother. How did he recognize that? Yes, he had wisdom. Yes, he had understanding. But which mother wants her child dead? Think about it. So she says, listen, hey, and I'm not going back over the message, but I want to just show you that the heart of things, the heart of people. She says, you know what? Rather than kill the kid, you have him. It's going to hurt me. It's going to mean I'm without, but you have the child. Why is that? It's the heart of mother. Now, our hearts are very valuable. Pastor Lorna just started talking about soil and ground. And that was one of the messages I was going to deal with today. But I had to back up a bit. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are all the issues of life. Think about that. Proverbs 4:23. To keep, let me just explain this. To keep means to blockade. Keep close, guard, observe with fidelity, and preserve from dangers of our hearts. It's almost like a watchman or a soldier stands guard. So when Proverbs says guard your heart, it means soldier up. Stand firm, get firm. Start defending your heart. Why? Because we're responsible for guarding our hearts. Everything in life comes from our hearts. It says guarding our hearts, and not only just our hearts, but our hearts of our children. There's a lot of mess going around the world today. All right, you probably haven't seen it. I like to keep up with current affairs. There is a load of mess that's going around today. You send your children to school to learn reading, writing, and arithmetic, and somebody wants to tell them what they do in their private quarters. They're sowing seeds into our children's hearts. It's got nothing to do with academics. And like I always used to tell my children's teachers, this is an academic institute. Do your job. I don't expect you to teach them how to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Spiritual institute will do that. The church will do that. I don't expect you to teach them sexual education. Mommy and daddy will do that. The word will do that. I don't expect you to even teach them sports, because you're not a sports institute unless you've got that status. I expect you to teach them academics. So there's a lot of mess that's going around that we have to protect, not just us, but our children from. And the reason why is this, that God looks at the heart. God looks at our hearts. Turn to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16 is a very, very important story. And I'm going to read some of it for us. The Lord said to Samuel, verse 1, how long will you grieve for Saul when I have rejected him as king over Israel? Samuel the prophet is upset that Saul has been rejected by God. And he's only rejected by God, why? He turned his back on God and disobeyed God. Okay? For those of you who think that God doesn't do tit for tat, you're wrong. He's forgiving, of course he is. But people aren't going to hell because God's not forgiving. They're going to hell because of pride. They won't repent. They won't change. They won't follow instructions from God. So Saul gets rejected. Interestingly enough, though, God's the only person who can fire you and leave you in the job. He's the only person who can fire you and leave you in the job. He leaves Saul in the job. He says to Samuel, fill your horn, with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have chosen a king for myself among his sons. So Saul's in the job, but God's got the next guy already waiting to go. Okay? Just picture that. But Samuel said, how can I go? When Saul hears about it, he will kill me. The Lord said, take a heifer from the herd with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do after that, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate. So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the city came trembling to meet him. I want you to go down to verse 7 because you can read this in your own time. God says to Samuel, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the appearance or the height or the stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God is looking at the heart. I want to just give you a little acronym of a heart. If you're writing down, H, heart, is the seat or the center of our physical and spiritual life. That's H. E, emotions. It's how we feel, our compassion, and our sympathy. A, affections, our appetites, desires, and passions. R, our response, which is our will, decision, deeds, and drive. And then the last one, T, our thoughts, which is our intellect, intelligence, thinking, and understanding. I want to look at the four characters in this text today and look at their hearts and then contrast them with God's hearts. Number one character, the prophet Samuel. Prophet Samuel had fellowship with God. He was close to God. And this is the picture of the church. He had faith in God, because when God says go, he's like, I'm going. He feared the king, so he was into protocol. Because he was like, well, God, I know you said go, but I'm not really supposed to do that. So God says, no, well, we got to work around. We can work around that. He followed then the commands of God. However, Samuel's number one mistake is that he was fixated on the outside. Fixated on the outside. That's his problem in this text. Why? He sees Eliab come up and he says, this guy looks good. He's tall. I mean, he looks strong. This has got to be the guy I anoint. And the church is a little bit like that. Not this church. Church down the road. The church is a little bit like that. We look at people and we go, yes, no, maybe. That's what the church is like sometimes. The Sadducees, people who are sad all the time. They don't want to come into the kingdom, but they don't want you to come into the kingdom either. They don't want to go to the next level, but they don't want you to go to the next level. We have a 21st century term for that called blockers. Yeah? Vision says, oh, we're going to develop a vibrant and a diverse multi-general church, that's church family that's continuously growing. And you hear the Sadducees go, not on my watch. Not on my watch. It's just us four and no more. But this is the kingdom. Samuel's problem is he looks at the outside. And the truth of the matter is this. Humans do judge by the outside. Anybody work in a five-star hotel or anybody work for a big company, one of the things you find is the higher the company, the bigger the company, when you walk into their reception, the receptionists look more beautiful. Just keeping it real. They dress smarter. They're not chewing gum. Yes. You know, they don't answer the phone. Micah. No. Have you ever been to a five-star hotel? Have you ever been to a top company? It's just a fact. You walk in, the people look just more beautiful. Why? Because you never get a second chance to make a first impression. People judge by the outside. But that can be a problem. How many of you know if it was left up to some church people, you wouldn't be saved? Hey? You wouldn't be saved, would you? Because you don't fit the criteria. Sadducees, Pharisees, you don't fit the criteria. And that was Samuel's problem. Let's go to the second person then, Jesse. Jesse comes and he goes, man, the man of God's coming, the prophet's coming. Hey, my boys now. Because don't forget, here's the thing. Just in case you think, I think Pastor Lorna said it last week about sanitizing the scriptures. Just in case you think Jesse's on the up and up, you're going to learn some things about Jesse. Jesse knows that if one of my boys is king, no more taxes for me. I get to keep everything I got. And not only that, I'm top in the kingdom, man. I'm up there. So Jesse brings his seven sons. He brings his seven sons. He lines them all up. But he leaves out David. Ever been left out? Just me, okay. David was a last minute thought. He brings all his boys in, and it's Samuel that has to say to him, is this everybody? You got any more sons? Because God's telling me that none of these dudes fit the mark. Oh, yeah, I got one more. What sort of mindset do you have to have as a parent to forget you got a kid? Come on. Let's just keep it real. What sort of space do you got to be in to forget you got a kid? Think about it. But there is a backstory to this. Some theologians suggest, and David does kind of confirm this, that David was the product of an affair. Jesse wasn't on the up and up. That's what some theologians believe. David actually said when he was praying in Psalms 51, in sin and iniquity was I conceived. Which means my birth didn't come about by the normal routes. So could you imagine that actually, and I'm not feeling sorry for Jesse, because you shouldn't be forgetting your kids. I'm not giving him that one. But you ever made a mistake that you believed it's over? I know what God says. I know what the word says, but no way God can use me now. Oh, only me then. Okay. You leaving me hanging then this morning. Everybody's standing there, sitting there looking like, I haven't got a clue what this guy's talking about. Yeah? Anybody ever done something you shouldn't have done? And thought, you know what? I think it's over. I don't care what the word says, God can't use me. Jesse's mind space. Jesse's like, the anointed man of God's coming. when he says he wants to anoint one of my boys king, it's certainly not going to be the guy that came out of an affair. Like it's David's fault that he came out of the affair. And I don't want to get into your business here, but if you find yourself in that situation, or if you're a product of that space, that's not your fault. It's not your fault. Do not let guilt bring you down and weigh you down because of the way you got here. It's not your fault. Not your fault at all. And if you find yourself like Jesse, repent, confess, and get going forward. Because Jesse here, he's forgetting this boy because he's thinking God can't use him. If it was left up to some family members, you wouldn't be the one. You wouldn't be the one. They wouldn't choose you. They look better than you. They more academically astute than you. They got better jobs than you. But guess what? You're just the one God chose. Come on now, text somebody and just say to him, or hashtag, how you like me now? Just hashtag it this morning. Get on your socials and just hashtag, you didn't choose me. You wouldn't have chose me, but how you like me now? Because God chose me. Let's have a look at this God we talk about, because David's a misfit. He's a mistake. That's the facts. But let's have a look at the God. God was ticked off. And the Bible says he repented that he chose Saul. He repented. God repented that he chose Saul because, like I said earlier, Saul turned his back on him. He told Saul, go to the Amalekites, wipe them all out. God is a gangster. Wipe them all out. Do not take anything from there. Saul goes in and goes, you know what? This is looking good, you know. I mean, I know God says wipe it all out, but I got a way I can work this. So he keeps one of the guys alive, and he comes back, and he brings all these spoils back. And Samuel checks him out and says, listen, God's got a problem with you, paraphrased. And he says, oh, no, tell God that I only did it really because I want to give an offering. Liar, liar, liar. I did it because, and this is where we get that famous scripture, obedience is better than? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So God repented. But so after that, though, God rejects Saul. And I really want to emphasize this. If you think that we can't be rejected by God, think again. Think again. God almost is a tit for tat. Draw near to me, I'll do what? You lift me up. You first. God, though, recruits David when David is in the job of looking after sheep. Looking after sheep. And so, therefore, how many of us know this morning that whilst church, churchy people, family might not think you're the one, how many of you are glad that God says you're the one? Amen. All right, that's five. That's five of us. Five of us are happy that we're the one. Okay? Because I know why. Because you've been in so much stuff that you're thinking to yourself, well, just in case this don't work out, I won't get too excited. But God chose David because he knows David's heart. He said to Samuel, I'm going to choose me a guy who's got a heart after me. And I know, I'm looking at your faces, I know you're struggling with that because you're thinking, but look at what David did. David did all this stuff. Yeah, but what did he do after? What did he do after? He ran to God and he says, God created me a clean heart. Renew the right spirit. I'm not glorifying the wrong he did. I'm not saying any of us should go and do that. But you have to understand. What was that song back in the 90s? I get knocked down, but I get up again. You're never going to keep me down. Yeah? It's not so much that you get knocked down. What's your response? What's your response? And think about this now. This is something that jumped out. God rejects the seven brothers and chooses David. Anybody remember when Goliath was cursing God and cursing the people? Where were David's brothers again? Think about it. Think about it. Where was David's brothers, these big boys? Tall, got height, good looking. Where were they? They were hiding with Saul. David's the one that walks up and goes, is this for real? Is it only me who can hear what's saying? This guy's cussing God out. He's cussing God's people out. Is nobody going to do anything about it? David's the one that said, listen, let me go take this joker out. So I know we're reading that in the future, but God saw that before. And just maybe God trusts you because he knows that when it comes to the nitty-gritty, the heart of the matter, you'll stand up for him. How many people will stand up for him? Well, I want you to do more than put your hands up. I want you to stand up. How many people will stand up for God this morning? Yeah? Thank you. You can be seated. Stand up for Jesus. Lift up. Yeah? That's maybe why God can trust you. The point is, getting to the heart of the matter is this. When I ask you the question, how's your heart? Your heart is vital to your success in God. Your heart is vital. In other words, Jesus says it this way. He says, number one, where your treasure at, that's where your heart's at. Remember the rich young ruler? What should I do to inherit eternal life? God says, do the commandments. Jesus said, do the commandments. Don't kill, don't murder, don't do this. He said, I've done all those from my youth. Okay, cool. Sell everything you got. Bible says he went away sad. I'm not telling you to sell everything you got. But that's where he was at. You and I might not be at that place. We might be able to sell everything we've got and give to God. But we might be at the place where we go, well, I made such a tremendous mistake. It was colossal. It was brilliant. The mistake was so good, I don't think there's a bounce back. That could be your heart this morning. You may be cool with giving and sacrificing. But you've got a problem with bouncing back. You've got a problem with going, you know what? I just don't think God can use me. So you talk yourself out. You talk yourself out. Somebody comes up to you and says, oh, fantastic, you're anointed. Oh, I don't know, you know, I don't think I am. There's that little mindset coming back again. In the back of your mind, subconscious, oh, I made a mistake 50 years ago. Yeah, okay, 50 years has passed now, let's just move forward. Yeah? Some people could be in that space this morning. So your thinking is not, I can do all things. It's, I can only do some things. Why? Because you let churchy people, religious people, family put you down. You go to them and say, oh, I haven't seen you in ages. Yeah, I remember you. I remember you. No, that's not me anymore. It's not me anymore. I've moved on. Don't hang around people that keep bringing you to your past. Don't hang around people that keep... limit them to outside spaces. I do not have anybody at my table, family, blood, or I don't care who they are. You ain't coming in my house unless you serve God and you are out for God and you ain't trying to take me away. I don't. It's facts. I don't. Why? Because you already showed me who you are. You already showed me you don't value what I value. So we can be courteous, we can have fun, we can do whatever outside, but not inside. And I know this is tough, Because I hear somebody go, but that's not very Christian. That's not very this. Where's the love? Okay. Some Christians are more forgiving than Jesus. It's true. Some Christians are more forgiving than Jesus, so they open their house and their life to snakes. Under the auspices of, I'm a Christian, and Christians are supposed to do this, and Christians are supposed to do that. Wonderful. You have conversations with snakes. Remember the story about the snake? The person took it as the pet. Snake promised it wouldn't bite. And then two twos, the snake bit it. Why did you do that? You promised you wouldn't. I'm a snake. That's what I do. Yeah? God looks at the heart. I'm not saying this to you this morning so you put anybody else down. I'm saying this so you can get in alignment with the fact that the way God thinks about you. Sure, you might have messed up. Sure, you might not be the best one. But who's going to argue with God? Any takers? Any takers this morning? Anybody want to go up against God and say, oh, you can't use you, you can't use you, you can't use you? Not me. Because I know where I'm coming from. I know where I'm coming from. My mom used to say to me, listen, boy, if you don't fix that temper of yours, prison is where you're ending up. I was not a bad boy. I wouldn't mess with you if you don't mess with me. But if you mess with me, I got to close the show. Yeah? And so that's what my mom said. She wasn't confessing wrong over me. She was saying, come on, fix up yourself. Well, I did go to prison to preach. Ah, gotcha. Some of you are looking like, oh, what has Pastor Dennis and Lorna done here? I played a joke on my mom. I said to my wife, I said, listen, we've got to drop the kids off. Let mom take care of the kids. And I'm going to be really solemn. You know all this pranking? I started it. And when she says, why is he looking so sad? Because she'll ask my wife before she asks me. I'm going to say, well, I've got to go to prison. So I went to my mom's house, looking all sad, dropping the kids off. Said to my wife, darling, I love you and I'll see you when I see you and what have you. My mom was like, what's him saying? What's he saying? Where's he going? And she looked at my wife and my wife goes, look at him. I said, I got to go to prison. What? To preach. She was saying that for me to fix up. Because I had an angry heart. I wasn't a naughty boy in that respect, but I had an angry heart. And that angry heart cost me. It cost me. Why? Because it gets into your thinking, it gets into your head. You start thinking, okay, what are they saying? Yeah, what do you mean by that? And you're getting ready to fight. Why? Heart, your thoughts. So, David. Why did God choose David? He knows his heart. How did he know his heart? David's looking after sheep. When the bear comes, what's he do? Kills it. My dad's property. Not on my watch. When the lion comes, what's he do? Kill it. Not on my watch. It's my dad's sheep. I suspect, please forgive me for this. I suspect because Jesse knew he was a mistake, he put him with the sheep so he could get killed anyway. Cover up. You know why I suspect that? What? Oh, you're laughing at me. Okay. Let me show you. Let me show you. What did David do after he sinned with Bathsheba? Cover up job. Bring her husband home. Bring him home. Let him come home. Let him go and spend time with his wife. And then when the baby comes, they won't know it's nine. Oh, I know. You're looking at me like, nah, the scripture don't say that. He says it. Cover up job. Cover up job. And when that didn't work, he says to his lieutenant, put him at the front of the battle so we can kill him off. Cover up job. Come on, don't you look at me like we ain't done no cover up jobs before.
Don't you look at me like you ain't done no cover-up jobs before. Even if it was taking the biscuit when mom said, don't take the biscuit. The biscuit's coming out your mouth. No, it weren't me. Cover-up job. That's why I suspect Jesse put him in there to kill him, to get him killed. Because he's a mistake. He's a misfit. He doesn't go with the plan because we got seven boys. We don't need another one. Mistake. So that's my suspicion. But David was a warrior. He fought for what he believed in. Second thing, he's a worshiper. He's out there on his own. Rejection can do wonderful things for you. It can do wonderful things. If you've ever been rejected, run to God. Run to God in worship. I don't care whether it's a sibling, a marital situation. I don't care what it is. Run to God. My hallelujah belongs to you. That's David. No one's looking. Easy to worship when everybody's looking. When you're rejected, you're out there on your own. My hallelujah belongs to you. You're just worshiping. Just worshiping. So now God, who sees him secret and rewards openly, looks and goes, you know what? I got a guy here who's a worshiper, but he can fight. Who should I make king? This dude here. I'll make him the king. He's a worshiper. He's a warrior. His dad sent him out there to look after sheep, and he put his life on the line to protect them, which means he's going to follow orders. He's going to follow my word. He's not going to be like Saul. He's going to follow my word. This morning, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Your heart matters to God. And you might not even believe in your own heart, but God does. And I want to encourage you, as we've got a couple of weeks left to the end of the first quarter, start focusing on your heart. It's everything. Psalms 51 is a phenomenal, it's on my prayer points. I pray that all the time. Create in me a clean heart, renew the right spirit. I pray it all the time. Purge me. Why? Because I'm out here doing stupidness. No. I don't know my heart. I don't know my heart. Bible says the heart's wicked and deceitful. So just in case there may be something lurking there, I'm praying that anyway. Because I'm proactive. I don't want to wait and then have to pray afterwards. I've done that before. Let me pray it up front. Creating me a clean heart, renew the right spirit. How many people this morning would say, listen, you know what? Based on what I've heard, I need to check my heart out a bit. I need to guard it. I need to protect it. I've been letting people come in and out and things come in and out too easy. I need to protect my heart. Bearing in mind, your life depends on it. Your life depends on it. We saw last week that the heart shows in everything we do. Everything we do. Shout out to my wife a little bit, because my wife don't know how to do anything shabby. She don't know how to. If she brings chips and a burger, the details, it's like, you know, I'm just going to eat it. Do we need all those details? Details. But she's not the only one. What do you do excellently? What do you do that somebody else doesn't do? It doesn't have to be in church. In your company, in your organization. What about stay-at-home moms who generally get looked down upon because, I'm a stay-at-home mom. Is that it? Oh, okay, cool. Can I, any stay-at-home moms here? One? Let me give you some props. Let me give you some props on what stay-at-home moms do. Number one, they manage the schedule. They got to look after everybody's schedule. They're a chef. So that's operations management. Chef. Then they got to get everybody everywhere. Logistics. Anybody ever been a stay-at-home mom? Come on, you're looking at me like, nah, I haven't got a clue what you're on about. You got to get everybody everywhere. Logistics. Yeah? And then on top of that, because this kid... If you leave that one, hell will come in your house. So then you start praying and interceding. and walking the floor, intercessor. Then the money comes in. Oh, I got to balance that, CFO. Just in case stay-at-home mums, you look down on yourselves. You got to do all of that. In any company, you're the CEO. Anybody a CEO of a company? Anybody understand the disciplines? Yeah. You got to look after the finance, the vision, logistics, operations, everything. That's what stay-at-home mums do. But you're just a stay-at-home mum. Don't let anybody fool you like it's an easy job. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody think lower of you because you do that. I'm not saying it's easier to go to work, but when you go to work, you may have to just do one of those jobs. When you stay home, you've got to do all four or five of those jobs. God looks at your heart, protect it. Everything flows from it. And if you can pray that scripture over the next couple of weeks, Psalms 51, you're going to find in there that God is going to change your heart. Because nothing in your life is going to change until your heart does. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next one.